So hi, I'm Steve Cohen. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors who couldn't be here today, but one's Ken Choi at Tufts, one of my alma maters, my former place of employment. Thanks for coming. And Caroline Orr, who's a PhD student in social behavioral health and at VCU. And so I'm going to give a slightly different disclosure now. Because I uploaded this in the half hour between when the Red Sox won the World Series and the deadline for uploading on Wednesday night, so I managed to squeeze that in there. Yes, I still have no disclosures to tell you about, but I would like to acknowledge my beloved Red Sox, my hometown, for winning the World Series. Talking about aging in Alaska, why do we care? This is a small enough group, I feel like I feel comfortable. Is anyone here from Alaska? Okay. Oh, good. Okay. We should talk. We should definitely talk. So, if I offend you in any way, please let me know. And I know someone else in the back there is from the northwestern tip of the continental United States, the next closest to Alaska. So, but why should we care about Alaska and older adults? That's a good question. There aren't many of them. The Alaskan population from 1970 to 2010, the Alaskan population more than doubled, and which was pretty similar, a little bit faster than the rate of the population growth in the rest of the United States. But the rate of increase in the 65 plus population was four times faster than that in the other 40 United States, which brings up some questions. Is that why is this? I don't really know, but we do know that older adults, there's been tons of research out there, that older adults in Alaska face really unique geographic and environmental conditions that are, I don't want to say, I shouldn't have used the word barriers, but they're challenges to successful aging. There's a lot of infrastructural issues where people live and how people get their care. And so there's a lot of issues that are unique to Alaska that a lot of, that older adults in other states don't necessarily face. Another interesting point is that the Medicare population, Alaska has one of the lowest rates of Medicare enrollment in the United States among the 65 plus. So they actually, if you look at overall Medicare, it's actually very comparable, but in the 65 plus population, it's significantly lower. I think the last figure that we had, which was in 2006, was 92%, and the rest of the country is 96%. So that actually impacts a pretty sizable portion of the population. Another issue is the percent of the population age 65. So where do the older adults live in Alaska? And I kind of pointed out the three. Well, it's hard to see here, but there's three major-ish cities that I pointed out. This is Anchorage, this is Fairbanks, and this is Juneau, somewhere in this brown area there. I think there's like a dot there. As you can see, now the populations are not large in these areas, and this county is ginormous, our borough, I believe they call it in Alaska. As you can see, the population of Alaska isn't necessarily surrounding the big cities. There are older adults that live in very remote areas. This is a very mountainous, harsh climate. And this is from one of our studies that we had done. The step parent of the study that we're doing now. We looked at Medicare hospitalizations. And comparing Alaska older adults to the contiguous 48, and what this shows, this is on the x-axis is the year, so from 1991 to 2006. The y-axis is age from 65 to 99. We couldn't go up much higher than that. And blue areas are where Alaska's faring better. So in terms of total hospitalizations, across the board, Alaska is pretty comparable to the rest of the United States in terms of hospitalizations. There's some pink and there's some blue and there's some nice dark blue up here, which means Alaska is generally doing better in terms of total hospitalizations per population. But in terms of cost per hospitalization, Alaska is doing a lot worse. So when older adults get hospitalized in Alaska, the cost per hospitalization for similar hospitalizations is actually much worse. And we think a lot of that is because we think this is maybe due to more severe conditions. If you're going to be hospitalized in Alaska, if you have a cold or maybe the flu or something, you might not go to the hospital. It has to be more really severe in order to go to go over the mountains and go through the snow and whatever else to get to a hospital. So that's what we suspect is going on. But the objective of the study is actually quite it's quite straightforward. We're just comparing the healthcare needs, including behavioral health, preventive health behaviors in Alaskan seniors to those in the contiguous United States. And this is, this is not a very rigorous analysis. It's just kind of a first step, as you'll see. So we used BRFIS. We used the year before, 2009. We had three primary outcomes: self-reported health status, health care insurance status, so whether or not they were covered. And again, most older adults should be covered by Medicare, but they're not necessarily. And the length of time since last routine checkup in terms of preventive health behaviors. This is just a sample of, we looked at about five or six, but these are three kind of representative ones. The primary exposure variable was Alaska, living in Alaska, versus the rest of the United States. And some co-variants of the covariates. We restricted the individuals age 60 and above. We were going to do 65 and above, but it's a very small sample in Alaska, as you can imagine. And we used generalized linear models for each outcome using SAS and SPSS. So here's a distribution of self-reported health. And so we have Alaska here and the United States here. And it goes from excellent here down to poor. So in terms of the 60-plus population, Alaska's doing pretty well. Alaska, only 5.6% of the population, the 60-plus population in Alaska, reported poor health, compared to 8.1% of older adults living in the contiguous United States. That's pretty good. In terms of last routine checkup, not so good. So we go here from within the last year is this yellow bar. So 76.5% of Alaskans had a checkup within the last year. 84.7% of older adults in the contiguous United States had a routine checkup in the last year. And a lot of, and the black and gray here represent, the black represents never, and we're not quite sure how that would measure up, but about twice as many people in Alaska said they've never had an annual checkup compared to those in the contiguous United States. About twice as many also said they had that checkup more than 5 years ago. So. Alaska. So here's some basic demographic data comparing Alaska to the United States. We find that, of course, that you would expect, the the American Indian and Alaska Native population is much higher than it is in the United States. That's sort of one of the main takeaway messages from this information. The mean age of the respondents is actually a little bit lower, which we think may contribute to some of those the slight improvement or the slight disparity between Alaska and the United States in terms of self-reported health. So they're a little bit younger, or maybe they're not going to the doctor, not wanting to go to the doctor as much because they don't need, because they're about 2 years younger on average. Mean BMI was significantly higher. All these measures are significant, statistically significantly different because the large sample size, but this was, they're about 1.4 units higher of BMI. It has health insurance, 94.2%. Compared to 95.4 in the rest of the United States. Again, they should all have that. They're all eligible, but they're not necessarily getting it. These are adjusted models for odds ratios of no health insurance. So this is the exposure is Alaska. So the outcome is whether or not they have no health insurance. So as you can see, the unadjusted model here is just under 1.3. And once you adjust for age and sex, Alaskans were still less likely than the non-Alaskans to have health insurance. In terms of having a checkup within the past year, Alaskans are about 40% less likely, even after adjusting for age and sex and for other covariates, for other confounders, to have had a checkup within the past year, which is pretty substantial, 40%. In terms of general health, we used ordinal regression for general health, and Alaskans. This was a good thing. This means that even after adjusting for age and sex, and for income and BMI and other variables, they still had slightly better reported general health than the rest of older adults in the United States. So that's pretty promising that they're happy with their health, or they're in good health. And I have also, again, online I have the full model information, so if you want all the details, but I figured that's a lot of the big table. And so I'll just kind of present some of the summary information now. They have slightly higher BMIs compared Alaskan older adults compared to non-Alaskans. They're slightly healthier even after we adjusted. And they're, again, the key findings here also were they're significantly less likely to get an annual checkup, 40%, which is not a small amount, and they're also a little bit less likely to have health coverage, even after you adjust for confounders. And remember, we looked at the 60 plus population, so it does include people that are not eligible for Medicare. So there's a few strengths and lots of limitations of the study. Again, we had that same large national sample. It's one of the few that actually does a good job covering Alaska. And although there are specific Alaskan surveys that I've seen out there, but they don't have the sort of the breadth that BRFAS has. We looked at three very representative measures, and again, this is three out of about six that we looked at. So it kind of gives you just a flavor, but it really is the tip of the iceberg. These are just three measures that are very preliminary. There may be other factors as well, but there are lots of limitations, as I alluded to. One is that there are limited outcomes. We only looked at three. And there's also limited demographic information. Alaskans actually were lower in responding to a lot of the demographic information compared to other non-Alaskans. So that posed another challenge. There's also tons of potential for residual confounding. We were fearful of over-adjusting, but we probably under-adjusted. And the other thing is, this is only at one time point. This is a 2009, so it's pretty recent. But there are more data coming in with from BRFAS. There's also some promise that there's a National Health and Aging Trend Survey, NHATS, that many of you, I'm sure, are aware of. It's a survey that came out. I think the second wave just came out. It's from Westat and I think it's at Emory. A couple other places are sponsoring it, and that shows a lot of promise to have a lot of really good detailed data on aging, as well as something I'm interested in, which is also caregiving. So. That shows a lot of promise, and that also is covering Alaska as well. So what are we looking for? Oh, actually, I forgot I had mentioned that already. In future research, we'll look at long-term care and healthcare quality in Alaska compared to the contiguous United States. We suspect that the healthcare quality isn't quite as good, except maybe in the cities, and also at healthcare-seeking behaviors and preventive behaviors. Also, I'd like to find some data and potentially do a longitudinal analysis for this very rapidly changing population. And looking at regional differences within Alaska, so kind of combining the previous presentation, looking at rural-urban differences, because Alaska has a couple little urban spots and a lot of rural spots where people live, older adults live. And also considering taking into account climate change, especially where we know, and I'm preaching to the choir when I say, climate change is impacting the circumpolar regions more than other regions. This is a particular problem for older adults who may have be geographically isolated. And then I mentioned earlier the promising new data set that's called NHATS. Thanks again, and there's my information in a different font and color. So thanks so much for bearing with me for 30 minutes.